Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Well, hey, good morning. Glad you're here. Man, I had like a whole, hooded jacket and everything I was going to wear, right, Reed? And I'm like all hot. I can't do that. It ain't going to happen. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I don't know what that was. It's like, woo, put it back on. Listen, Linda. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus, you see Jesus is actually engaging with children throughout the scriptures, right? You see him engaging with young people throughout the scriptures. If you read through, you'll see there's moments where Jesus healed a young boy who was demon-possessed, and actually that demon was trying to kill him. You see Jesus healing a young girl who was possessed, and just simply the mom's audacity to come and ask Jesus for help. He does it simply by saying a word. You see a man coming because his daughter is sick and she dies along the way. And Jesus says, she's not dead, she's only asleep, right? And he brings her back to life. There's a moment where Jesus uses a little boy's lunch, what he had, to actually feed thousands upon thousands of people, and that story is still told and talked about today. And so that's not unique to Jesus alone. In fact, if you look in the Old Testament, you see God engaging with children as well. In fact, the prophet Samuel was called to be a prophet when he was just a young boy, right? He was discerning the voice of God in his life. David was chosen as the next king, probably around like 12 or 13 years old. And that battle where he's fighting against Goliath, he's probably like a teenager, right? Like who else besides a teenager goes up against a giant with a couple rocks in his, you know, pocket and a slingshot, right? Like that's, they have the audacity to believe that God can do anything he wants to do. And so I just want to share really quickly is the idea that God does not resist children and young people. In fact, he welcomes them. In fact, he uses them in remarkable ways to point others to hope in Jesus Christ. And I was thinking this week, it just made me wonder, what do you think that God can do with a child's life when he grabs a hold of their heart at a young age? What can God accomplish through a young person who just has laid their lives completely before God to be used however he desires? We're going to be talking about that very thing. And so if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Mark chapter 10. So Mark is the second book in the New Testament. Mark chapter 10 is where we're going to be. While you're going to Mark 10, I do want to welcome everybody here today, especially all of our guests. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. And I am really glad that you're here to celebrate this great day with us. And then I also want to welcome everybody who's joining us at Lighthouse Online. We're really glad that you're with us today, wherever you're joining us from. Thanks for being a part of the family today. We're actually wrapping up this series that we've been in for the last 4 weeks called Welcome Home. And so what we've been doing is we've been looking at the hospitality of God. And so we started in Romans 5, and we talked about the fact that while we were helpless, powerless, godless, enemies, God rescued us, right, through Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate hospitality. And so now, once we've experienced this hospitality as Christ followers, we can actually give that away to other people. And so then 2 weeks ago, Larry taught on the parable of the Good Samaritan, and hopefully that was a weekend where, man, the Lord just blew up your mind about what that parable was really communicating. Last week, Pastor Ben was here, and he was teaching on a wee little man by the name of Zacchaeus and what Jesus had done there. And so all along the way, we've been talking about, okay, how do we welcome others the way that God has welcomed us? How do we welcome our enemies? How do we welcome lost people? And today, we're talking about how do we welcome next gen, right? The next generation of people who are being raised and coming up right now. And so that's where we're going to be at. Mark chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 13 and just read the next couple of passages. And this is what it says. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When he saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. Now, this is a short passage of scripture, but I want to unpack what is happening here in this moment. Because what you have is you have parents coming, bringing their children to Jesus, and the disciples are actually blocking them. The disciples are actually getting in their way. They were creating barriers for parents and their kids to get to Jesus. And when I read that, my first question is like, well, why? Why would they do that? Why would the disciples actually stop parents from bringing their children to Jesus? That just didn't make sense. And I think it's helpful to say, well, our view of children today is very, very different than the ancient world, right? Like when we think about kids today, we think about the magic of childhood, right? We think about all the wonder and the discovery that's happening in a child's life, their innocence and all of the potential that's there. And so we look on childhood with this wonderful positivity until you have like a three-year-old, and then you realize that was wrong. That was really wrong. And then they're 14, I was really wrong, right? And so we have this view of children. Well, you have to understand the ancient world didn't share that view of children. In fact, in this time, in Jesus' time, people would have said childhood is unavoidable and it's uncelebrated. That's actually the view of childhood in that time, in that day and age, right? It's something you have to make it through, right? And you move on to other and better things. And so, for the most part, families in that day and their age, kids didn't have a lot of value because they didn't bring value to the family economy. When you're 3 years old, there's not a lot of work, you know, that you can do. There's not a lot of labor that you can bring to the family on the farm. There's not a lot of honor in childhood. Children simply didn't count in that culture and in that day and age. In fact, if you were from a Greco-Roman family, fathers could simply throw out their children at any time that they want. They could literally just discard them, right? Expose them to the elements and whatever happened. They would just throw away unwanted children. That was the view of that in the ancient world. Now, some of you are going, wait a second, you know, I've read in the Bible things like, you know, children are a gift from the Lord, and they're a heritage, and, you know, one who has lots of children is like a man who has a lot of arrows that he can shoot. And that's all true, right? The scriptures do talk about that. The way that had been translated in the culture was, it's true once they reach their potential as adults, right? That's how it had been translated in this day and age. They're valuable once they cross 13, 14, 15, and they can actually start contributing to the family. But up until then, children had no status. Children had no power. Children had no rights. I want you to think about this. Let's go back to the account and think, like, look what's going on here. Who are the ones putting the barriers in front of the parents and the kids? Who's blocking here? In our account that we read in Mark 10, who's blocking? Jesus' disciples. The disciples of Jesus are blocking kids and parents. And I want you to notice, right? You look in there, what is Jesus' response? It says, Jesus saw this and he was indignant. He was indignant. Now, two things about this. Number one, do you know what the word indignant means? I didn't. I've read this many times. I'm like, I actually have to go look up this word. I don't really remember what indignant means. And so what it means to be indignant is it means to be filled with anger over an injustice. That's what it means to be indignant in the Greek, right? To be filled, to actually just angry, ticked off because an injustice is happening here, okay? And it's usually from the standpoint of like, not only is this an injustice, but quite frankly, you who are doing it, you're just being mean, right? That's what it is. Like, you don't even have a really good reason behind why you're doing what you're doing. You're just being plain mean. And when Jesus sees this happening, he becomes indignant. And I want one other thing about this word indignant. This is the only time in the New Testament when you will find the word indignant used in regards to Jesus. There are times when the disciples are indignant with each other. There are times when the religious leaders are indignant towards Jesus. But this is the only time that the New Testament describes Jesus being filled with anger over an injustice, using that word. This is it. Why? Because people were creating barriers to God. And he is not okay with that. See, this was happening the whole time in Jesus' ministry on earth. In fact, you see it happening along the way, but it kind of comes to a crescendo in Matthew chapter 23 when Jesus just lets the Pharisees and the Sadducees have it, right? He is like fed up. He is done with these religious people who are supposed to be the ones who are actually helping people to know God. They're actually creating barriers and putting things in the way for them. And he says this, he goes, listen, you shut the door for other people to enter the kingdom and you yourselves don't even go in. You'll travel halfway around the world to turn someone else into a convert and you actually make them twice the son of hell that you are. Right? He says, you know what you are? You are whitewashed tombs. On the outside, yeah, you look right. Everything's perfect. But inside, you're filled with death. You're rotting on the inside. You stink and you bring death with you. You'll change the law to your advantage, but you'll heap weight upon weight on those around you. And he says, you are a brood of snakes. You're vipers just waiting at your opportunity to take advantage of the people around you. This is what Jesus had to say about people, especially religious people, people who are supposed to be representing God, putting barriers in the way of other people. And Jesus' disciples, his own disciples, were actually blocking the way to Jesus. Can you see why he would be indignant? Can you see why he would be just filled with anger in this moment? And I started wondering. I wonder, like, what are some ways Jesus might be indignant towards me today? How might Jesus be experiencing indignation towards our church today? Towards his bride today? I started thinking about that. What are barriers that Jesus' disciples today create for other people? And it's things like this. I think we create barriers when we have a lack of clarity about what's true and what's not. And we go, well, I saw this on TikTok. It sounds right. Let me pass this along, right? It fits very nicely on my t-shirt, makes me feel good, so let's go ahead and do that. And so there's just like lack of clarity about truth. And I think one of the symptoms of that is we'll actually end up talking about, we'll talk a lot about things that just don't matter. Think about a lot of the conversations that you and I have had, you know, that you've had with friends or other people that you know, and like how many of those conversations just in the last, I don't know, let's just say last 4 days, how many of those conversations have actually been about meaningful things? How many of them have been about weather? Sports, fashion, whatever the latest news thing is, right? Hey, look at this video I seen on the Facebook, right? Like, what? Like, just think about that for a second. And I'm not trying to judge. I'm just asking the question. I'm asking of myself. Like, what is the bulk of the conversations that I've had with people over the last 4 days? And if we're honest, actually, for most of us, we're talking a whole lot about nothing. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't change anything. Doesn't make anybody's life better or worse. We're just filling time and space. I think that's a barrier. I think another barrier that churches and disciples create today is we'll actually substitute feel-good ministry for sharing the gospel with people. It makes me feel good when I give away clothes. It makes me feel good when I show up and I give away food at this location or that location. It makes me feel good when I have this event going on here or there where everybody can get together and they're smiling and they're high-fiving and they're having a good time. Now, don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with clothing people. There's nothing wrong with feeding people. There's nothing wrong with visiting people in prison. There's nothing wrong with helping people have a good time. In fact, some of those things, Jesus said, that's what we should do. But the heart and the drive behind all of those isn't giving away food. To give away food. It's not clothing people so that they have clothes. In fact, these are open doors so that we can share the truth of who God is. These are open doors to share that, hey, this kindness that you're experiencing, actually the only reason we can do this is because God has showed his kindness to me. And I'm giving that to you out of worship for God. Another barrier we have is silence. We don't say anything. We don't know how to talk about God. And so we're quiet. And then the last barrier, I think, is, and I've seen this before, not so much at Lighthouse, but I've seen it at other places, where the church will actually ask people to clean up their life before they start coming. Hey, you're welcome if you start dressing the right way. You're welcome if your voting record starts to align with what we believe your voting record should be. You can do that if certain language isn't used in places. You're welcome here if, right? And so they become these stipulations that if you, then you can, right? And so those are all barriers. And so what you have to see from this account is Jesus' disciples were blocking children from coming to Jesus. And he had a big, big problem with that. Huge problem. Now, look back in the account here, Mark chapter 10. Look at verses 14 and 15. It says, you know, when Jesus saw this, the disciples blocking, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. In fact, let's do this. Let's read this next portion together, starting with, for the kingdom of God. Are you ready? All together and go. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Let's keep going. Verse 15, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. The kingdom of God is for people such as these. And if you don't enter it like that, if you don't receive the kingdom of God like this, then you can't come in. Well, let me ask the question, why is the kingdom of God for such as these? Why? But then there was another question that came up right after that. And I actually think you have to answer this one before you answer the first one. And it's this, what is the kingdom of God? What even is that? Because I think there's a lot of different views on what the kingdom of God is, and I'm not sure that they're all very accurate. And I'm going to just very quickly, very plainly, I'm going to share with you what the kingdom of God is by looking at another passage that Jesus spoke to us when he was actually teaching us about prayer. And so if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, chapter 6, this is typically known as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, you should pray like this, our Father who is in heaven, your name is holy. Then you get to verse 10, and verse 10 says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God, it's not so much a place. The kingdom of God is not so much a location, though it includes a place and it can include a location. But at the heart of it, the kingdom of God is right there in verse 10, is that the kingdom of God is whenever and wherever God's will is done. Whenever and wherever God's will is accomplished, whenever and wherever God's will is obeyed. That's why Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is already being done in heaven. Why is heaven included in the kingdom of God? That's the one place where his will is accomplished every time, without delay, in a moment. All of creation in heaven is just looking to do the will of God in a split second. And Jesus says, when you pray, pray that God's will is accomplished on earth like it's being accomplished in heaven. That's what it looks like for the kingdom to come. That's the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. And so the kingdom of God is in heaven, but it's not heaven alone. In fact, the kingdom of God can be on earth as well. The kingdom of God, you know what it is? The kingdom of God is, it's an event. It's a way of living. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's a way of living. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, right, there's all of these parables and examples that Jesus gives about the kingdom of God. He says things like this, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's this little itty bitty seed, but when you plant it, it grows into one of the largest trees that's out there, right? He's talking about the process, the event of it starting. It might start small, but it always grows out. Right? The kingdom of God is like yeast in dough. You put a little bit in there, but you work it and you work it and you work it, and the yeast makes its way all throughout all of the dough. Right? He says the kingdom of God is like a treasure that was buried in a field. Somebody found it. What did they do? They went and sold everything they had. They gave away everything they had, all of it, their entire life, so they could have enough money to buy this field so they could have the treasure. It's like a merchant looking for a pearl. When he finds the pearl of greatest price, he sells everything so he can have this, right? And so this is what Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God. It's this event, it's this way of living that when you realize what it's like to live under God's leadership, you'll actually abandon everything you've built for yourself and you'll go pursue what God has for you instead. You see, the kingdom of God is about looking to God all of the time. It's about relying on God for leadership in every area of every moment of your life. It's looking to God for provision. That's what it is. And so Jesus says, you can't receive the kingdom of God unless you receive it like a child. Why? Why, right? See, because what Jesus is saying is you can't enter the kingdom of God, and maybe even more importantly, the kingdom of God can't enter you unless you're willing to come to God like a child. Unless you're willing to come to God, you realize you have no rights. You realize you have no power. You realize you have no value to add to this kingdom and to this family, right? Like, you don't come in with your accomplishments and how you've built your life and all these types of things and going, God, listen, I know you can't say this about everybody, but you got a great deal on this one. And so I'm excited to give you all that I have built, right? Jesus says, if that's your mode, actually, there's no room for you in the kingdom. You can't enter the kingdom that way. And so for the kingdom of God to get into you, you have to see that you are as helpless as a child. You're as powerless as a toddler. You need him to do everything the same way that a newborn infant needs their parents to do everything for them. And if you can't come to him like that, the kingdom of God's not for you. This is what Jesus says. That's what he's saying. You know, in fact, there's a layer here where Jesus is saying children are the epitome of spiritual maturity. That's what he's saying, right? And he's not talking about like the wonder and the joy and the, you know, all the miracle of childhood. No, he's going powerless, seen as having no value, right? No rights. That's what spiritual maturity looks like. Actually, the people who are the most needy of God are actually some of the most spiritually mature people. See, the spiritually mature people don't go, well, I know what to do, and I'll just do this because it worked last time, and blah, 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 blah. No, the most spiritually mature people turn to God for everything. I know how you answered my prayer last time, God, and maybe you'll do it this time, but I'm going to ask for your wisdom again. I'm going to depend on you again. I'm going to rely on you again. I'm going to trust you again. That's what spiritual maturity looks like, and that's why the kingdom of God is for children and people who want to rely on God. Because that's how you come to him. That's how you live with him, right? Are you going to tell the creator of the universe how to run his creation? Children don't do that. You know what happens when my kids do that in my house and they tell me how to run my family? I'm not going to tell you because it's on the internet, right? Like, I can't. No. Right? But there's discipline involved, right? Like, it doesn't work that way. But you know what happens when my kids come to me and give me an idea that's based on the culture and the values of our family? Hey, Dad, you know you're always talking to us about this, and I thought we could. And I'm going, there's a kid who gets it. I would love to do that, and I think we should do that as a family, right? This is what Jesus is saying, right? And so part of what's going on here is we don't, as disciples of Jesus, we don't create barriers to faith in Jesus. Instead, we help people come to faith in Jesus. We help people say yes to Jesus' leadership in their lives. That's the language that we use around here, right? It means we're saying yes to him, that he is God, he is forgiver, he is leader. We say yes to him when he commands his disciples to be baptized, whether we understand it or not. We do it because he asked us to. That's another way to say yes to Jesus. We say yes to Jesus by sharing the gospel with our family and our friends. We say yes to Jesus by maybe discovering our gifts and serving in ministry, but right, we actually help people say yes to Jesus. We don't create barriers for them. And so I thought, you know, maybe we could talk just practically for a moment. What does it mean? What does it look like for us to actually help kids? Because Jesus is talking about kids here. How can we help kids say yes to Jesus? How can we help kids come to faith in Jesus? And by the way, even though we're talking about kids, everything can be transferable to adults that we're going to talk about right here. Here's the first thing. Jesus says, don't hinder. So I think one of the ways that we can help kids say yes to Jesus is just simply remove barriers, right? Remove the barriers that are there. Find them, identify them, remove them, right? We already talked about like four of them earlier in the message. I'm not going to recap them, but recognize those as barriers, blow those things up. In fact, Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. He says, "We destroy every proud obstacle or barrier that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ." So again, you see the kingdom of God right here in this verse. And so we actually tear down walls and barriers. And you know, one of the biggest barriers I think there may be to kids saying yes to Jesus, I think it might be this, is actually dumbing down the gospel for children, thinking they can't understand the truth of the gospel. And that's just not true. Actually, there are some children who understand the gospel better than you do. They might not use the same language and the terminology, but they get it. They understand it. And in fact, they're living it out in a way that you and I can't even get there right now, right? And so I actually think with kids, you can simply share the truth of the gospel and trust the Holy Spirit to move in their lives. Now, again, I wouldn't use things like, you know, language like, you know, the penal substitutionary atonement theory, right? I wouldn't talk about transubstantiation versus, you know, consubstantiation versus memorial view on communion. I wouldn't do any of that. That's not helpful. You're going, I don't even know what any of that is, right? Good. Stay away from it. instead, right, we talk very plainly about who God is and his character and what Jesus has come to do for us, right? Kids will get that. Kids will understand truth better than what you would imagine, and they'll actually believe it. They'll actually believe it, right? Instead of like you and me, we're going, well, you know, my life has shown me that that's not really quite true, and let me tell you why that's not practical. And I got to, you know, kids will go, yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Right? Here's another way we can help kids say yes to Jesus. Simply just by making kids feel welcome right here at Lighthouse Community. Letting them know they're welcome here. This is a place for them. I'm at the risk of embarrassing one of our volunteers. And in fact, I kind of want to make a hero out of him. We've got a volunteer here by the name of Grant Kinzinger. And I will watch Grant welcome people at the front door. He's actually one of our front door greeters, serves in that capacity. And I will watch him like greet kids while they're coming in, right? He's like high-fiving them. He's fist bumping them. He's getting down, like, hey, so glad you're here. You know, and he's just letting them know, this is a place where you're welcome. You are, you know, he'll like even ignore the adults sometimes, right? And he's like, you know, it's, and I love that. I think that's awesome. I think that's incredible. Something just simple as that, building friendships with kids. You know, it might start out with, hey, I like your shirt. You know, and that's where you go. But then you start crossing over into like truth and reality and those types of things, right? But simply letting kids know you are welcome in this place. Another way we can remove barriers, or excuse me, we can help kids say yes to Jesus is to pray for kids and to pray with kids, right? What we're talking about, this is a supernatural thing. You can't save anybody. You can't manipulate anybody into the kingdom of God. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. We point them to truth, we pray for them, and then the Holy Spirit draws them and opens their eyes, right? And so you can pray with them or pray for them, but you can also pray with them. You know, kids probably learn how to pray best by watching you. And so actually, the way that I go to prayer in with them or in front of them, or the ways that I actually avoid prayer with them or in front of them, probably communicates a ton to them about what I believe about my relationship with God. And so pray for kids and with kids. And here's the last one. Ask them if they'd like to follow Jesus too. It's very simple. Would you like to say yes to Jesus? Would you like to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus? Some kids are going to go, what does that mean? And so now you have a new conversation you can have. And others will go, yes, I do. I'm ready. I've seen both of those play out. You know, it's interesting. I want to do a really quick survey here in the house. If you're joining online, maybe, you know, type in the chat, say, you know, I was or me or something like that. Do me a favor. Raise your hand if you're in the house and you came to faith between the ages of 4 years old and 14 years old. Raise your hand. You came to faith in Jesus between the ages of 4 and 14. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Nice and high. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Okay. Yeah, man, that's a lot of hands. That's a lot of hands. Okay, great. You can throw them down. Here's the point. Statistics have shown that somewhere north of 80% of Christians who say yes to Jesus do so between the ages of 4 to 14. They're referring to it as the 4 to 14 window, right? And so this is a time when children are most open to the gospel. Now, is it possible to come to faith outside of that? You better believe it. I'm one of them. right? There are many others here who you are as well, right? But we're most open to the gospel between the ages of 4 to 14. In fact, it was people between the ages of 4 and 14 that God used to draw me to faith in Jesus Christ, right? Later. And so it's like, man, it's amazing. Just simply asking kids to follow Jesus, God can do something remarkable. We don't have to make it hard for kids to say yes to Jesus. In fact, Jesus told us, help them. Help them come to faith. Don't create hindrances. Let them come. Help them come. I want to give you, I've been talking about kids ministry, but there's really somebody in our church who is probably better equipped to talk about kids ministry than I am. And so we've asked our Lighthouse Kids director, Allie Brasky, to share a little bit about what's going on there and what's behind Lighthouse Kids. So I'd like you to listen to what she has to say for a moment.
Lighthouse Kids is like the number one mission field that we can participate in right now, because most people that become Christians say that they came to faith between the ages of 4 and 14. Most people who come to faith, they do it as a kid. The number one reason why we have Lighthouse Kids is so that the kids who come through our doors will learn to rely on God. They'll learn who Jesus is. They'll learn why the gospel matters. They'll have opportunities to take steps of growth. They can come to faith. They can get baptized. They can, whatever God is calling them to as their next step, they can do that. My favorite thing about kids ministry is hearing all of the stories of kids going out and wanting to tell whoever will listen about Jesus. I've heard several stories of kids who are like 5 years old explaining to full-grown adults who Jesus is. Kids asking strangers, do you love Jesus? And when the stranger inevitably says, no, I don't love Jesus, those kids lean in and say, well, he loves you. That is so powerful that kids are actually going out into their communities. They're telling their friends, they're telling their neighbors that they just met that Jesus loves them. And it all starts in our homes and it all starts in Lighthouse Kids. So if you're thinking about trying Lighthouse Kids, you'll get to experience a lot of those things. You'll get to hear kids telling you about how they want to share Jesus with anybody who will listen. They'll probably share Jesus with you. A kid isn't going to care what you know until they know that you care about them. So we spend a lot of time building relationships with the adults and the kids, but also with the kids and each other. We as adults like to walk together with Jesus with other adults, and so why wouldn't kids want to do the same thing? And doing fun things like playing crazy games, and they usually tie into what the kids are about to learn. And then we'll have a teaching time. Right now, we just started the Bible over, so we're in the Old Testament, and the kids are learning a lot of those Old Testament stories that you think of. But we always point it to Jesus. That is the number one important thing, is that regardless of what story we're learning from Scripture, that it always points to Jesus. It always points to the cross. It always points to his sacrifice for us. So we spend a lot of time in Scripture. We're teaching kids how to navigate Scripture. Regardless of where a kid is age-wise, what classroom they're in, they get an opportunity to respond. It looks different for a preschooler than it would for a third grader. It looks different for a kid who came to faith already than a kid who is spiritually dead. Whatever it is that God is calling a kid to do, or the next step that they need to take, we want to leave room and give them an opportunity to do that. We're learning together what it looks like to have this next generation go out and share the gospel and be solid in their faith. Of course we have fun. Of course we do wild and crazy things. Of course we have loud noises and fun experiences. So our preschool classrooms, they do crazy and wild stuff because they're crazy and wild kids. They also learn who Jesus is and what the gospel is and why it all matters. And our big kids learn who Jesus is and what the gospel is and why it all matters. And even our two-year-olds and our little babies are hearing truths from Scripture and learning who Jesus is and what the gospel is and why it all matters. And we just want to see this next generation grow up and be solid in their faith and follow Jesus with everything they have.
Hey, that's what's happening in our kids' ministry. We're pretty excited about that. We as a team, as a leadership, we've actually set a goal that by December 31st of this year, we are praying for and we're hoping to add 60 new volunteers to our Lighthouse Kids team. That's a really big goal. That's a pretty big ask. And I think that's critical. And I want to say, I want you to consider, perhaps God is calling you, inviting you to invest in kids' lives and to remove barriers and to create open doors for them to say yes to Jesus. And listen, there are lots of roles, all right? Some of you are going, oh man, I would love to get on the ground and play trucks with kids. That's a role, right? Some of you are going, I don't know how to be around kids, right? There's a role that you can play as well. And I get that. I didn't like hold a baby until I had my own. And now it's like, oh, I can do this, right? And so it's amazing. Plus, you can practice on other people's kids. If you get it wrong, you know, you get it right on yours, right? But there's all kinds of things, right? It's serving like once a month, right? We're not talking about every week for the rest of your life. It's like once a month. There are on-ramps and there are actually off-ramps. We would encourage you to try it out. And then if you go, man, I just don't know if this is for me, it's like, that's okay. Actually, the off-ramps are really, really easy to step out of a ministry that's not a right fit for you. That's all okay. But I really want you to consider joining that team. And if that's on your radar, even in the slightest, here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab your blue connection card. And if you flip it over and you look on the back, there's a couple of next steps. But the one I want to draw your attention to is the third one down on the right-hand side that says, I want to learn more about volunteering in Lighthouse Kids. If that's you, I'm just wondering if you would check that box right now. And here's what you're committing to: learning. That's what you're committing to, learning. Learning, how might I serve in this ministry? It doesn't mean you're going to be in and it's going to happen and it's dialed down and you know, you're never going to be able to get out for the rest of your life. What it does mean is you're going to discover if this is a right fit for you. You're going to discover if God can use you in the lives of kids right here at Lighthouse Community. In fact, when I think about our new building on County Road 99, the section of that building that I'm probably most excited about is actually the kids' wing. That, you know, good things are going to happen in the worship center. Good things are going to happen in the classrooms, in the welcome area. I am most excited about the kids' wing and the student room. What's going to happen in those rooms? What's going to take place there, right? Like, which kids are going to come to faith first in that building? Which kids are going to take the step of baptism first at County Road 99? Who will walk in and that will be their first experience of the church and the gospel, and they're going to walk in wide-eyed and they're going to leave with a full heart and transformed? That's what I think about. And I just imagine for a moment, imagine what could happen when Hancock County finds out that there is an entire church, not just a wing of ministry, not just a section of volunteers, but there's actually an entire church that's committed to helping the next generation come to know Jesus and walk with him by faith. Like, what can God do when that word gets out? Like, imagine what future pastors and missionaries and small group co-leaders and church planters and community leaders and moms and dads will come out of Lighthouse Community ready to walk with God for the entire rest of their lives and help others do it as well, right? What children will be the reason that their parents and their family came to faith? Because they kept dragging them back again and again and again, right? Imagine what the Lord can do. And listen, you can help kids say yes to Jesus. You can help kids step into the kingdom of God and allow the kingdom of God to enter into them. Because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these anyways. So let's welcome them. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And we ask this question every weekend. It's just simply, Jesus, what are you saying to me right now through this scripture and through this message? And I want to give you just a few moments to listen to him. God, my prayer is that you, by your Spirit, you are like implanting the vision of how you could use different people's lives who are sitting here right now, investing in kids, investing in students, investing in the next generation, and seeing how you might transform not only kids and teens, but actually our own lives in the process. Perhaps there are many things we have to learn from six-year-olds about walking with Jesus. Perhaps there are ways we need to be discipled by 11-year-olds of what it means to put our trust in Jesus alone. And so I don't see this as a one-way thing, Lord. One of the things that we love to do at Lighthouse is just simply pray for each other. And so here's what's going to happen. The band's going to come up. They're going to lead us in just one more song. And during that song, we're going to have prayer leaders who will be available in the four corners of the room. We ask those prayer leaders to make their way to those corners now. But we'll have one up here by the cross, one over here by the lighthouse sign, one back by the sound booth, and then one over here by the double doors. And you can pray about literally any area of your life, any area at all. And so you don't have to be a member of Lighthouse Community to receive prayer. It's going to be your first time, and maybe you want to receive prayer. You don't have to be embarrassed to be prayed for, because all of us need prayer, right? I need prayer, you need prayer, we all do. And so this is an opportunity for the family to serve and minister to the family. And so I'm going to ask everybody here in the house, let's stand together as we transition into a time of singing. And we just ask during this time that just nobody leaves the room, unless you have like an emergency or you got something going on. We get that. We understand that. That goes on. But just kind of hang in this moment with the Lord and with the family and worship Him. And maybe He's going to draw you to prayer, to pray for somebody next to you as well. So let me pray for you, and then I'm going to invite you to do the same thing. Holy Spirit, I pray that you and you alone would draw every single person who needs prayer right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.